Welcome to AIM On Air, the official podcast of the Association for Intelligent Information Management. Founded in 1944, AIM is dedicated to advancing the information management industry. We represent a vibrant global community of information leaders committed to driving exceptional business outcomes through information management fueled by technology like AI and automation. You can learn more at AIIM.org. I'm AIM President and CEO Tori Miller-Liu, and I am so excited to welcome today's guest. She is the Senior Departmental Systems Analyst, specializing in information management at Los Angeles Metro, where she focuses on records and information management systems. With a unique blend of archival expertise and technical skills, she brings over 15 years of web development experience to the information management field. She holds a Master of Information Studies from McGill University, where she served as president of the McGill Information Studies Student Association and also participated in the School of Information Studies Equity Committee. Her professional experience spans archival work with UNESCO Institute for Statistics and the Postgraduate Student Society of McGill University, as well as extensive web development roles supporting planetary science research and academic institutions. She's an active AIM member and a leader in the AIM BIPOC network, and she is passionate about advancing equity and inclusion in the information management profession while bridging the gap between traditional archival practices and modern information systems. Please welcome to AIM On Air, Jill Sadler. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Tori. How are you? It is a pleasure to be on this podcast with you. Thank you so much.
Well, let's talk about your bio for a moment. I think I've obviously met a lot of our members, but you have such a unique background in web development and IT and archives. So I really want to ask you how you blend all those skills together and what's the unique value that you see in blending that really diverse experience and using it now as an information management leader?
Really, the value is in the multidisciplinary nature of having experience in multiple domains. So I would say people with the blending of these skills, you know, they understand material decay, technological obsolescence, digital preservation. It allows folks to communicate with both technical and non-technical stakeholders. Mm-hmm. It gives you a perspective on like critically evaluating software solutions, especially for like privacy and security. It helps inform and make decisions about how to optimize workflows, whether that's like the archival backlog or whether it's dark data stores. And I really think the bottom line of having this great blend of experience is that you can process more, discover value, and really increase access. So I know a lot of folks who either had a background in programming and they moved to archives, or they're media archivists and they're now like IT professionals and preservation professionals. Really cool, because there's a new transdisciplinary field called computational archival science. So there are lots of people sort of talking about what to do with this blend of skills. And we haven't even talked about AI yet, but essentially, you know, it all comes back to processing more, discovering value, and increasing access.
And when you say processing more, what does that mean?
It's because technology allows to process at scale. What might take a single person looking through records to evaluate, categorize, add metadata, provide context, and context is a whole nother story, but you know, using machine learning, artificial intelligence, and other like automation tools allow just to kind of really take a look at all of your, you can do paper documents, you could do digital documents, take a look at what you have, figure it out. What is it duplicated? Like, is it necessary? And so you just are able to then really get to the context, the relationships, and all of the other things once you kind of like someone is already some software has already gone through it.
What I like about that is that it's not just about computer processing. It's also about you as a human and an expert in this field are able to provide more context and process, I think, more successfully all of these moving pieces to get to a desired end result, which I think is kind of double meaning of process. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. A human will always need to be in the loop.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, so one of the things that I think is especially interesting about your experience is the background in web development, because my experience with web developers is they're very creative. They're really focused on what that user experience and the graphics look like. So how does that translate to your current work? What's the connection?
Really, it's the accessibility of information that really guided all of the work I did in web development. So how long does it take someone to find something? How many steps is in between where they start their search and where their need is fulfilled? And what kinds of obstacles stand between when you start your search and you want to get a desired search result? I think there are a lot of similar goals, like for me, between web development and records and information management. It's looking at what are the terms people are using to search for things. Again, does the search result address the search need? Have they found what they're looking for? In terms of systems, is there a usable interface? Is there an organized file structure behind that? Like in web development, the concept of reducing code bloat so that there takes less processing time to display a web page, let's say, but it's the same thing in records and information management, addressing redundancy, outdated and trivial records and information. And, you know, this cycle of the process in both areas is very similar. It's the way things are designed, how they're implemented, and then how they're maintained. And so rinse and repeat.
Oh, I love that. You're right. There's so many threads that you can connect from one practice to the next. But something you said that I find particularly interesting is we talk a lot about data access and people need access to data. I don't think we actually talk that much about the actual user experience of getting to that data. And so it's really interesting that you're literally applying digital user experience knowledge, and there's a world of that, to accessing data and information. So can you talk a little bit more about that? Like when in your course of your daily work, are you actually using that as a key performance indicator of like how many clicks did it take to get to the information? How long did it take to get to the information? Are those KPIs you use?
It is. I think this is a longstanding question in the RIM profession about how to quantify the labor that goes into search. I've heard it come up a lot. But definitely taking a look at the systems that you use, what you love about them, where they fall short, how they're set up in terms of like workflow and the training that users get on it to be able to perform their task either more efficiently or figure out like know to ask questions about how to complete that task more efficiently. But user interface is a huge aspect, just like in any system, the way it's designed, how long it takes you to actually do something, not to mention like how long it takes you to actually search for something too.
And I do feel like that focus on user experience, I think, could actually help you sell the value of information management and records management, because you're so focused on what the customer feels and sees and the value that they derive with UX that I think that could only help when you're trying to establish the value of information management and information governance. Do you think that's true?
Oh, I definitely think that's true. Taking a look at it's about, like in web development in websites, it's navigating the menu and the content of it. But like in a system, it's still, where's the menu? Where are the buttons? Is it set up in a natural way where you expect to find things? Or is there a steep learning curve in this tool? I think different tools will have different foci in terms of that, but definitely like, the tool needs to work for the user. Like it needs to be accessible. You need to be able to use it. It needs to make sense for what it is you're trying to accomplish. So, And I hope that answers your question.
No, it does. I am kind of curious, though, because you said the word, like, what they're trying to accomplish. In information management, is the goal for them, for the user to get the information? Or do you go farther than that and say, not only do I want you to get the information, but I actually want you to use it to, like, make a decision, to share, to collaborate? Like, do you look at what they do once they get the information? And does that become a new KPI?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think it's a good question. I think once, if you can find something in a system, you're right. What can you do with it? Can you export it? Can you export it in a fashion that's usable? Can you use it for something else or use it in a different program? How easy is it to share? Do you need to process it further once you've exported it in order to really make it accessible and usable for something or someone else? So yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, they're both very important.
Which is hilarious because, again, it's those themes back to content management from a web perspective. Every content manager from a web perspective worth their salt is going to talk about how do we repurpose this content. So it's interesting that you're, as an information manager, saying, yeah, I want you to use document X multiple different ways because that makes it more worthwhile to store it. The cost for storage is almost paid back if we can get you to use this content more and help make decisions with it.
Absolutely. I mean, what if when you can export it, you can deliver it to all of, like, a number of other departments at your agency who can then use it? Sure.
I love that. That's such a cool analogy. We need to do, like, a session or a white paper on this. So just connecting threads again, I know one of the things that is talked a lot in the user experience, the web development realm, is how do you make web applications inclusive and how do you account for diversity? And I know you have a really strong background in diversity programs and advocating for diversity. So talk to me about the role that you feel like diversity plays in strengthening the information management industry.
Tori, if you get me started on this, I want to. I really want to highlight and start with the BIPOC Network had a guest give a presentation. His name is Barry Primes, and he underscored how representation matters. And that is just so true. It's true in your system. It's true in your society. It's true in the content that you take in, the movies, the books, the TV shows you watch. It's an amazing experience to recognize an aspect of your identity, and equally important, when you consider representation, you can recognize also where you're missing or where you have been erased from information systems. The diversity expands the vocabulary of how people name things and the search terms they use. There are terms you think people are going to use, and there are also folksonomies because people will come up with other terms. And so it's widening that vocabulary. I also think diversity serves a really important purpose of seeing blind spots in information systems. And you kind of led with that. It's in terms of, like, how a system is designed or the results that your output you're getting from the system. I kind of liken it to, in publishing, there's this role, the person is called a sensitivity reader and reviews the content for inaccuracies, stereotypes, or biased content. And I think in information management, diversity serves the purpose of, it can evaluate the story that the data is telling and also provides variety in the way that data is used for storytelling. I think it can go both ways.
Oh, that's fascinating. And I know you and I have talked a little bit about the role information management practitioners can play within AI projects and AI operations within enterprises. When we think about what role that person can play within an AI project, is there responsibility for ensuring diversity and inclusivity within the data, within the AI system? Who's responsible for that?
I think everyone has to be responsible for that. I think the ethics of any technology, process, method that you're using for information, for because information is knowledge, and you get, information is power, right? So I think everyone needs to be responsible for making sure reviewing ethics, bias, and just taking a look, a second look, and a third look at how what is really going in and what is coming out, and really asking yourself, do you know? And if you don't know, find out.
Yeah. Because I believe that an information management practitioner has the skill set to flag when there might be problems, to flag when there might be algorithmic bias, where an information management practitioner like yourself has noticed that maybe a data set is incomplete. Like, it had a very homogeneous population. It's not inclusive of the actual population we represent. And so I think we can flag it, but I agree with you that it's everyone's responsibility then to actually do something with that and make ethical decisions and implement responsible AI systems by saying, okay, our data professional has flagged this as a problem. What are we going to do about that? Do we still use the AI output? Do we adjust the system? Do we expand the model to include more data sets? Do you feel like that's the way it works? Because I feel like that's the way it works now without AI. Like, you can flag the problems, but somebody has to support the decision making around what we do about the problem, right?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of being able to ask questions, present those questions to a wider group, and really try to solve, answer the question and solve the problem within, it's like the goal you are trying to achieve. So,
but solving collaboratively.
Definitely.
Because data in a vacuum, like, you might as well just leave it in your basement in a file, right?
Well, yeah, and I think the problem with silos is so many other people are maybe asking the same questions, or they have answers, or they have a network of people, you know, collaborating on shared problems. It's just so much fun than trying to figure it out by yourself. So yes, definitely being able to find other folks, ask questions, ask different questions, and like be able to really tease that out, I think is the ideal.
And so since we're talking about AI projects, you and I talked a little bit about this before we started recording the episode. If I am a CEO or a CIO and I'm putting together a team for an AI project, what is the value of bringing in someone with an information background and your experience?
I think the value comes from the fact that an AI system is still using content, outputting content. Records and information management professionals are trained to, they're trained to categorize, organize, classify, review what they have. So having a RIM professional involved in AI projects, the output of AI is also its records, its data, it's all of the things that RIM professionals are already managing. So they provide expertise in compliance, the content and the records and the information that's already being managed by departments, by organizations. And so they can provide really a whole sort of a comprehensive look at also including all of the information and content in AI systems in addition to the other content they're managing.
Yeah, I love that, because what it sounds like to me is the RIM professionals can provide that context and meaning. It would be too simplistic and frankly not really great for the output of the AI to say, oh, well, you need like this data, this data, this data. For all you know, the quality of that data is really subpar and it's going to impact the output. But having a RIM professional who can say, not only do I know where the data is, I know what it means, I know its quality, I know how relevant it is, how current it is, I feel like that's invaluable. You have someone who can basically help you train your models and understands all of that, the data mapping, the metadata, everything. That's great.
For sure. I mean, RIM professionals also bring in the taxonomy, the vocabulary, like just strengthening whatever organization that system is using. So definitely.
So let's shift gears for a second and talk about how you came to this spot and how you came to AIM On Air. You've gone through some pretty significant career changes and also made a decision recently to return to graduate school. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and what you were hoping to gain and what happened?
I'll start from the beginning. I had first heard about the Masters of Library and Information Science, or the Master of Information, or the Master of Information Studies, has lots of acronyms, when I was working with folks at the Chicago History Museum, and it piqued my interest. But then we moved from Chicago to California, and my life took me down the path of web development, and grad school moved to a bucket list. Fast forward quite a few years later, as life does, I was diagnosed and recovered from colon cancer. And then amidst the pandemic, my wife looks at me and says, "Do you want to go to graduate school?" And I said, "Yes." It was just that simple. So I like to say my decision and my path to graduate school was more yes and less no. I would say a lot of the perceived and actual obstacles that we saw, or I saw, they just no longer existed. So it was a great experience. So, you know, I took a look at where I wanted to be, where I wanted to live, the institution I wanted to go to, and what I wanted to study. And I started the program being absolutely thrilled being at McGill, and I ended the program being absolutely thrilled. I spent 2 years at McGill. So it was a fabulous experience. So.
And I guess for someone who is interested in getting into information management, do you recommend that they pursue a graduate degree? And how do they make that decision about whether or not to do a graduate program?
Yes. I am a fan of lifelong learning. So I just love to learn. I love to read. I love to research. So I would say if you're considering graduate school, go. If you're considering taking more classes, if you're considering changing your skill set, absolutely do it. I would say try it. Yes, it could be a disaster, but it could also be amazing. And you will definitely, definitely learn something.
And for your program, it took 2 years to complete. And so did you have to do a thesis?
I did not do a thesis. I did a coursework as part of my program, but I did focus. McGill's curriculum offers a variety of things from libraries, archives, UX, data science, cybersecurity, and knowledge management. So mm-hmm. I was able to come in and I was like, okay, so these are the skills I have. These are the skills I'm not as familiar with. This is really what I'd like to study. This is what I'd like to learn more about. Could be great. Could be a disaster. Doesn't matter. I'm like super interested in it. So it was a great program because it gave me an opportunity to really fill in gaps, explore things. Yeah. And the faculty at McGill was amazing. I highly recommend.
I really like that way of picking a program based off of where you want to strengthen your skills. That's really cool. For the McGill program and really most programs around the world, to my knowledge, there is not that many master's degrees that are specific to information management or records management or information governance. So do you feel like with the McGill program, you got sufficient credit hours in information management, or were things like related? How did you learn about information management through the program?
The coursework I took was, you know, cataloging. There's metadata, there's preservation management. The School of Information Studies at McGill has a really strong cybersecurity and data mining program. So I was able to study data mining and data science and information retrieval and sort of just get into also like bolster those other aspects, programming and how to look at how algorithms are used and applied to information. So it has a really strong archives program. So already like archives and records management aren't exactly the same, but there are some really great guiding standards and ethical principles in both fields that you can then use. I mean, it's like identifying what you have, assessing its value, keeping it, disposing of it. I mean, that cycle is the same in both. The information management profession, there are so many ways to approach it, but definitely, I mean, all of those aspects.
I love how you take almost this like Renaissance man approach to learning about fields, and you take all of these lessons from from where you can along your journeys. So let's talk about your career pivot a little bit more. For someone who's interested in pivoting into information management, what advice would you give them?
I say try it. I just say, like, try it.
Just, I'm going to push you into the pool.
What other advice? I think a really good start is to join a professional association like AIM or in, well, I was going to say, you said information management, an area of interest that you have. I have found it incredibly rewarding and amazing to speak with current professionals who are in that field and just ask them, what was your journey? How did you get to where you are now? And it's great, all the stories that people have. I would suggest there are lots of educational webinars, either hosted by associations or LinkedIn or elsewhere. I think that's a good place to start to explore, kind of figure out what you're interested in. And then also courses, either virtual or in person, kind of in areas of interest, goals that you have. And then also go up to the instructor and be like, hi, how did you get here? Why are you so excited about this? Like, you know, and I mean, I think that will get you thinking about what you want to do. And so that's my advice.
And I feel like to tack on to that, information management is one of those fields where everyone probably who is a knowledge worker has done a little bit of information management in their career. And so I think once you start talking to experts in a field, they can help you connect those dots. And you'll probably realize, even though I thought I had no experience in information management, I did actually create a file system, for instance, and I came up with a naming convention for that file system. All of those are tasks that information management professionals like yourself execute. Just you do it on a much larger, more complicated scale, right?
Exactly. I think a good thing to remember is an information professional can have subject matter expertise in other areas, but the real value of an information professional is sort of understanding how to organize the information probably in any discipline. It's the approach of, well, basically organizing it, making it accessible, and really organizing and making it accessible. I was trying to think of something else, but.
No, you're absolutely right. And going back to some of your earlier comments, I think you're good at organizing and making data accessible, but you're also really good at talking about it. Because I think it can feel really overwhelming. So to have an information management professional come in either as a third-party consultant or on your staff to say, let me translate your business needs to how we're handling the data is so invaluable. So what are your thoughts then about how information management practitioners can not just help people gain access to quality data and also organize that data for enterprises, but also can translate technical requirements about data to the line of business? How do you do that?
I think having being able to, as an information professional, then connect with other folks to help them answer their questions, and you get into a conversation because you find out that they have needs and they have questions and maybe they didn't know to come to talk to you. And then the information professional can come in and say, oh, so this is how, like, you could get better access, or this is how you could use this information, or this is how, where it's located, and like, what other, and basically it's just a back and forth, like a circular conversation, because then everyone sort of collaborates on the common goal.
Yeah, which I think it makes sense that I've heard people in our industry refer to information management practitioners as navigators. I've called them wayfinders before. I think it's you point people in the right direction and you tell them, not only can I tell you what path to take, I can also tell you why that path might be better than this other path. I can tell you what that path means and what will probably happen at the end of it. That's so cool. So final question for you, Jill. What gives you energy as you move forward in your information management career? What gets you up in the morning?
I love learning new things. In terms of information management, I love analyzing the challenges and the opportunities that technology presents to the field. And clearly, we're right in the middle, you know, of artificial intelligence and this a mass of data and this, like we were talking before, this like feeling of overwhelm and being able to be like, look, information professionals, we can help you. We got this. You know, it's automating repetitive tasks. It's taking all of those things that you, a person thought they had to do and being like, oh, okay, great, done. I can move on to this. I can move on to this really interesting thing. I think it's, as we've discussed before, brainstorming and collaborating on how to organize information, use it, make it accessible to people, to organizations, and really just delivering information to people when they need it and possibly even before they ask for it, which would be great.
Oh my goodness. Predictive data delivery. Hi. That's awesome. Well, Jill, thank you so much for being on AIM on Air. You've been a great guest, and I feel like we have so many interesting little nuggets of knowledge and inspiration. So thank you for all you do for AIM and being a member.
Thank you very much. It was lovely chatting with you, Tori.
Thank you.